On this episode of the Talking Bear Football Podcast, recorded Sunday, August 23rd, 2020, Jason, Steven, and Matt preview the Bears' season-opening game against Tipton, coming up this Friday. The trio also give their picks to click for the game, and so much more. Welcome back to the high school football season. Albeit a little different look this year and a little different gameplay, perhaps, with some extra timeouts. We'll get into that a little bit later. But first, we want to welcome you in. Buckle up, sit down, get your favorite drink, because you're listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
Matt Chenander's voice, Stephen Grace's voice, where you at?
Hello.
And I'm Jason Miller. We are excited to talk to you about actual football going to be played this coming Friday night, August the 28th, as West Branch will host the Tipton Tigers at the Little Rose Bowl. Man, give me the whole rundown. It's the Butch Peter Little Rose Bowl at...
I'll take it. Yeah, it's Butch Peterson Field at the Little Rose Bowl on Oliphant Street. Oh, excuse me. I messed that up. It's up for the debate as which one is third here, but it's...
Yes.
Butch Peterson Field at the Little Rose Bowl on Oliphant Street on the grounds of West Branch Community Schools in historic downtown West Branch. Johnson County, Iowa, United
Cedar
States,
County.
North. Yes, yeah, Cedar County, excuse me.
Tipton Tigers, the first team on the schedule, gentlemen. And if I had to guess, I'm going to say perhaps one of the tougher teams on the schedule, not just because they're going to have a good football team, but because they have an offense. They've got a system that is different than most that you're going to see all year.
That single wing, and you know, they've had a couple of different coaching changes, but they still have kept that same system in there. And so, you know, it's unique. You always like to joke it's the Barnum and Bailey's, and that's not a knock on it. It's more so just the fact that there are so many moving parts, and you know, it takes a while for the kids to get it, but it makes it hard for opposing defenses to be able to figure out, okay, who's got the ball? There's four different people that could really get it, and, you know, you just have to play complete assignment football, and we've talked about it for years playing against them. And, you know, when you've got guys that can run it well, you get that well-oiled machine, and, you know, you're going to have some areas where they could pop some big plays if your linebackers are flowing too far one way, if your safeties aren't doing what they're supposed to. And, oh, by the way, then all of a sudden they decide, oh, we're going to throw a pass. So you've got 10 guys in the box, they've got somebody deep over top, and then you get burnt that way. So, yeah, it's a challenge for defenses, especially at the high school level, especially in week one. You know, we've got, you know, both teams are going to be seeing a lot of new faces in the lineups. They both had a lot of seniors from last year. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out here this coming week.
And Matt, how do you think, when Steven said with new faces and new places, but it's a similar system, how do you think that all plays out into the gameplay, so to speak?
Well, I think every team, you know, in the state is going to have new faces that make a difference every game that they play in, especially the first game. So, I mean, unless you have, I mean, a completely, like, last season you had juniors, most of your junior class starting, and you had a lot of sophomores up starting, then this really doesn't apply to you. But I doubt any team in the state has that luxury going into the season. So every team is going to have a, you know, select number of new players that are either new to starting or just new to being on varsity football to begin with. And so I don't think that's going to be a huge difference maker, in my opinion, just because, you know, West Branch has that too. We have a lot of new players. We have a lot of seniors that graduated, a lot of sophomores that came up, a lot of sophomores, current sophomores that are now playing up on varsity. So I don't feel that that's going to be a big difference in this game. But, you know, I think we talked about this in the episode that we had in April, Jason, that we talked with Coach Peterson right after the schedules came out, and we were originally still going to play Sigourney Kyoto. But, you know, what's nice is even with the schedule change, you know, related to the pandemic going on, we still play Tipton first. So West Branch has had the luxury of being able to plan this entire, ever since they knew the non-district schedule, they've had the luxury of knowing that Tipton is first, knowing what offense they have, and having played them, you know, several times in the last 5-6 years, as you know, really as long as I can remember, they've had the luxury of being able to study the film from last few years and really game plan, have several weeks and months to game plan for this game coming up. And, you know, originally that was going to kind of be 2 weeks in a row with Tipton and at Sigourney Kyoto, where they are kind of that somewhat similar offense, but from the defensive perspective, you have to have that assignment football, stick to your keys, and be conservative in a way of staying in your lane and staying, hitting your gaps and that kind of thing. So I think the Bears have just a good advantage here just because they've had this quite a long time to prepare for this game.
Right. And before we get too deep into this, guys, I think I want to bring up the name Cody Cook for Tipton. He's number 72 in their program. Was going to be a very integral part of the offense and defensive line for the Tigers this year. Was in an accident recently and had an injury that's going to preclude him from being able to participate in football this year. I know Coach Peterson had the opportunity to speak with his family over the weekend, and I think there's going to be some, hopefully I'm going to have a parking spot set up for them, he and his family, in the north end zone, so they'll be able to see the game a little bit more easily and he doesn't have to move around a lot. But more importantly, we hope for a speedy recovery for that young man. He's a junior, so hopefully he'll be in position, he'll heal and have the position to be able to participate in the 2021 season, which will be of next year. So just wanted to mention that before we got into breaking down the teams. Speaking of size, I said he was 6'3", 285. That's just the beginning.
If you need to spruce up your home, or if you are building something new, turn to Corridor Drywall to make the project look great. Locally owned and operated by Dan Buell, Corridor Drywall offers quality work at an affordable price. Call them for advice on your next drywall project at 319-354-9255. Corridor Drywall, proud supporters of the West Branch Bears.
Storylines for this game, guys, are A, you got two teams last year who were playoff qualifiers and both had successful season. Tipton had what gave West Branch fits last year up in the northern part of Cedar County when the Bears traveled there. And the size of this line, go to their program, to their roster, as I'm looking at it, and I'm going to turn it over to you guys. I'm looking at Niall Shutt. Is it Shute Shutt? 6'3", 270, gave everybody in West Branch on that field fits last year. Little brother, 6'5", 240, is a sophomore. Xander Shutt, also 6'3", 285. They got a transfer in that's 6'3", 315. Another guy, that's 260, 230, 270. They have got some big-time Northern Cedar County Tipton Locker beef on that front line and on both sides of the football. That is going to play a big role, especially on a hot and humid projected night.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we always talk about the importance of the line play and where that's at. And, you know, when you've got size and, you know, especially Shute, you know, he's a guy that, you know, sometimes you'll see these guys, yeah, they're big, but how athletic are they? They've got some guys that can move over there too. And that is really the key, is how well can they, you know, work together, especially in that system. And, you know, if you're able to get some guards that are quick and good technique and be able to pull, you know, you also look at guys that are going both ways that can plug up some holes on the defensive side and make it harder to get those running lanes where you want them to be. You know, that really is going to be, you know, like we said, early on in the season, you're getting comfortable with how to play the game at that varsity level in a lot of cases. And so, you know, those lines are really going to be important, and how can that group come together on for both teams, and, you know, how well can they perform to be able to set things up to have success on Friday night?
And Matt, some things with those guys up front is, again, with the heat, I think you're going to see, where does conditioning play a role? Who is going to be the team that at this time of the season, by the fourth quarter, even with the extra timeouts that are injected with the COVID-19, conditioning, 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 conditioning. Who's going to be the guys with which team's going to be the team with 5 minutes left in the game that's still pulling the chain. Let's get the train going, keep going down the tracks, and who's taking in air.
Yeah, that's one huge thing that every Coach Peterson or Butch Peterson coach team, whether it's football, basketball, softball, what you name it, you know, I've had him for basketball and football. And that is kind of the biggest thing of any program he is coaching is conditioning. And it makes a huge difference. And he's proven that time and time again over the last almost 40 years that he's been coaching this football team. And he said it Friday night when we had our closed team scrimmage. He said, you know, I can't quote him verbatim, but he said something to the tune of, you know, come fourth quarter time, we're going to be winning the conditioning battle.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's going to be needed this coming Friday night as it's going to be hot. These kids aren't in, you know, mid-season shape yet, despite, you know, whatever they've been able to do in the offseason to keep in shape. It takes a while to get into that football game shape. And despite maybe any scrimmages they've had, it's not like a real football game. So I think that, yeah, that conditioning is going to make a big difference. And I know each team's going to come out being well conditioned, but I know that West Branch for sure, that's a big part of the program.
Let's get into some names. Some guys, you're going to hear their name from the PA announcer and on the Bearcast, and if the Tiger cast is in town as well. These are the guys you're probably going to hear a lot from. For Tipton, on offense from a behind-the-center skill position perspective, Stephen, because the real skill position players are up front, those five guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, that just goes without saying, so we know.
You're going to hear from a guy named number three. His name is Peyton Elijah. Takes over the quarterback spot this year, vacated by Blake Wilkins in the 2019 season. I believe was a two-year starter. Going to take over under center, a left-handed quarterback. He's also going to be a punter. He also intercepted, I believe, 7 passes on defense last year. That last name, if you've been around the West Branch and Tipton rivalry through the years, Elijah, has been a very, very popular, very successful and very productive name in the Tipton football system, Stephen.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just seeing him, you know, he was up as a sophomore several years ago, and, you know, we've seen flashes of him, and it'll be interesting this year, you know, seeing him take over a little bit more integral role in things. But, you know, he's a guy that, I mean, I think it was a couple years ago, they ran a halfback pass where they tossed it to him and he chucked a deep ball down the field and burned us big time. And, you know, he's one of those guys that he's just an athlete. When you look at him, he's got a good athletic frame. You know, he's just under 6 foot, about 180 pounds. You know, it's just, those are the things that you look for and see. And, you know, the fact that he's coming into his third year playing at the varsity level, he's just comfortable with what's going on up there. And so, you know, again, with that system, he slides from one spot to another, and so he just has a little bit different keys, but it also opens things up a little bit differently because, like you say, left-handed quarterback, Wilkins was a good quarterback. I think Elijah's a little bit better passer overall in general, and so, you know, you're going to have to respect that just a little bit more than you've seen in years past.
Matt, Lake Anderson is going to be setting up behind him in a four-point stance at that fullback position. 6'2", 205. Anderson is a popular name, but if anybody has a little trivia, I bet Stephen could probably come up with this. You know what? Go ahead, Stephen. How is the connection of Lake Anderson to West Branch football?
Well, his dad was a starting offensive skill position lineman on a state championship team several years ago, so that might be a little bit part of it.
I would say that's the connection, and and he's got family here in this school district, but he's going to be a very, very big at 6'2", 205. He's going to be a very big part of the offense, not just carrying the ball, but opening the second level hole up for guys like other running backs, Matt, like number 23, Levi Daniel, a sophomore, I think is going to be the lead ball carrier this year in Tipton.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned rushing, but I'm kind of really intrigued about the passing game. You know, last season Tipton, you know, just in this system, Tipton doesn't really throw too often. But a lot of last year, their main receiving core, you know, outside of Peyton Elijah, who threw and caught and ran it and did everything pretty much. All of their receivers of record were seniors, specifically Frank Bierman, their leading receiver at 365 yards, and then Connor Hermiston right behind him at 224. So what depth do they have from last year that's going to be able to fill that this year if they are wanting to throw the ball? And, you know, if West Branch really commits to stopping the run, they're going to have to try and find something to do and throwing the ball. So I'm curious to see, like I said, what is their receiving depth? What seniors do they have this year? What juniors do they have coming up from sophomores last year that is going to be able to fill that role in the event that they need to throw the ball?
Yeah, Frank Bierman was a wonderful athlete across the board. Also an all conference basketball player as well. And Stephen, to go back to something Stephen mentioned on Peyton Elijah from his sophomore year, that halfback pass, Stephen, for 88 yards, guess who that went to?
Frank Bierman.
Right down the east sideline, was kind of being tripped up. In fact, I watched the highlight just last night at about the 45-yard line. Couldn't bring him down, and he went 55 yards the rest of the way and put that game back into play before the Bears ended up winning that one. I believe 30-20 was the final. No, that year, sorry, that was Butch's 300th win, so it was the 42-7 game. At any rate, moving on forward now. We talked a lot about Peyton Elijah, because you're going to hear him on both sides of the football, as Matt just chronicled. Blake Anderson is going to be a key ball carrier. Levi Daniel, who last year was a freshman at the varsity level, only had a few carries, but I think he's going to be your bell cow back this year in Tipton. But the guys we've already talked about, those skill position players that Steven loves up front, they are going to make things happen. And then when you flip it over to the defense, guys, what did we say? Peyton Elijah, 7 interceptions last year. You got to keep it away from him. And you got to stay away from number 74, Steven's guy, Niall Schutt, who last year, if you watch film, was in the backfield quite a bit when the Bears played him in Tipton. Now let's change it over to the West Branch side of things, guys. 22 starters when you had 11 offense and 11 defense. Out of 22 possible starting positions, how many does West Branch return out of possible starting of 22 positions?
5 or 6, isn't it?
If you count Gavin Hirschman as a safety, which he didn't really start that many games at that position. He went in to give spells. So we won't even count that one. You got Jeff Bowie, that's 2.
Cale Federlin,
that's 2. Well, 1, really, because he was a tight end receiver, but I didn't announce his name before the game on the offensive side of the ball. So that's, we'll say 3, Morgan Hartz would be the other 2. So either 5 or 6. So you're looking at West Branch having to replace 16 or 17 complete starters. Brand new guys, brand new position, brand new names at positions. That's a lot that hasn't been had to be done in Southwest Cedar County in quite a long time. But there's a system in West Branch. Kids buy into it. They work hard in the offseason. They get in the weight room, and they're going to buy in. I don't think the term green is going to be around for too long, but maybe to begin the season, I think that's a fair term.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the seniors that went away, you talk about Tanner Lukowski, you talk about Trey Eagle, you know, all those guys that were really dominant at their position, they're gone. But I think as we've been in practice, we've seen a scrimmage. We've kind of seen what some of these guys coming up from the fresh off team were able to do at fresh off. I'm actually pretty excited about, a lot of, not just the skill position players, but all of the players that are coming up and now starters, or you're really on that quote unquote too deep for this team. I'm really excited what this team is going to be able to put on the field. And, I'd like to think that you won't see much of a loss, but it's game one, and kind of anything goes. And that's no disrespect to Tipton or anything, because everyone's kind of going through the same thing at this time of year. But I'm pretty excited what West Branch is going to be able to put on the field.
Well, Matt, you mentioned earlier about Tipton losing a lot of their top receiving yards. I can't remember the exact number, but if you look at West Branch's returning receiving yards, it's less than 100 and might even be less than 50. So it's going to be it's one of those that you are seeing those new faces, and it's exciting, and it'll be fun to see how they're able to grow, how they're able to get comfortable, you know, with Gavin, how they're able to get comfortable in the system, how they're able to get comfortable with each other. And, you know, I think that's one of those things that gets overlooked too much is the chemistry of a team. And, you know, when you're able to just have the guys back that's right next to you, worry that they're not have to worry about what they're doing, but know that they're going to get their job done. You get your job done. You know, when that happens, that's when you start to see these teams really take off and have great success.
Yeah, and Steven, you mentioned getting comfortable with each other, but also getting comfortable with themselves. You know, Jason and I talked with Gavin Hirschman at Media Day a couple weeks ago. I guess it was a week ago as we record this. And he was, you know, very straightforward and honest and said, you know what, last year I didn't feel very comfortable throwing the ball. But throughout this offseason, he's really worked on his throwing, worked with the receivers just in, you know, captain-led open gyms and that kind of thing. And he feels much more comfortable going into the season. And then you look at a guy like Andy Henson, who's a sophomore this year. He's looking to be another potential 3-year starter at running back for the Bears. You know, it kind of seems to be a pattern so far. How comfortable can he get running the ball? You know, seeing holes, making cuts, all that kind of stuff. So, and the list goes on and on. So I think, yeah, just not like you said, Steven, not only getting comfortable with each other, but just getting comfortable, each player getting comfortable with themselves.
Let's bring some names out here, guys, and tell me if you're noticing a trend. I'm going to give you some names, and you tell me there's going to be a when West Branch is replacing all these starters, here are some of the names you're going to hear. Carver Belk, Kinnick Belk. I mean, there's a human interest story right there with Carver and Kinnick. Identical twins, Carver Belk, Kinnick Belk. Andy Henson, Matt already brought his name up. Cole Bailey. Looking down the line at a Drake Berry. And also looking at Brady Hunger, Cash Woody, Peyton Miller. Simon Palmer is a senior. So I don't know why I threw him out there, but he's going to be a new face. He didn't play last year, came back out this year. I think he'll be a very important cog, perhaps on both sides of the football for West Branch. But those names all the names up until Palmer are what?
Sophomores.
Sophomores or juniors. So the one thing about development is the best things about a freshman is next year they're going to be a sophomore, sophomore to junior, and junior to senior. So West Branch is going to have around 10 to 12 kids get significant time this year on either side of the football that are going to be back in the fold for next season. So they're going to see great time, get great experience, and hopefully find great success as part of this team. And those are just some of the names that you're going to hear. But one of the things, guys, I know we can just bring it out now. When you're thinking of West Branch football this year, if you're an outsider looking in, you're obviously going to think of number 62, Jeff Bowie. When you had a kid on your team at a small school going to be playing for the state university, it's the Hawkeye State, by the way. Jeff Bowie is going to be, and this is his, by the way, fourth year as a varsity football starter, and has some dominant statistics. And man, I'm sure you can bring those up from last year. Also, looking at a quarterback position, you talked about Gavin Hirschman already. He had over 1,700 yards passing, 19 touchdowns, never even played the position before, really, and had that kind of success. But he also rushed the football for near 500 yards. He's not afraid to go put his head down and get crunchy and get dirty. But other names you'll think up front, Steven, we'll pass that to you as being, you're an offensive lineman. You're an offensive lineman extraordinaire, not just by knowledge, but you're just a big fan. Some of the other names up front we're going to hear this year are whom?
Well, that's going to be fun because I know that at Media Day, you know, Coach Hirschman, Coach Peterson talking about, and you see it every year, how do you find the five best guys that fit into that system? And, you know, they said they're excited because they've got seven guys that are competing really hard up there. So, you know, you talked about returning starters. You've got Bowie and Hartz that both started throughout the year last season. So they're coming back. You got Drake Berry, who big frame and you know, a lot of good things that he can be doing, probably going to see some time in there. You've got Cole Bailey, a guy that maybe a little undersized in comparison, but he's one of those that he's a smart football guy. He knows what to do. I mean, obviously his brother's one of the coaches, so that helps a little bit, but you know, he's a knowledgeable guy. He's not afraid to stick his nose in there. Matt, you mentioned Fed, you know, he's moving in, Kale Federline moving in to the offensive line spot just to help get some size and stuff there. And then another guy that, you know, it's one of those fun stories that you see, and I appreciate it because I was kind of in that spot. A guy that has been out all 4 years, he's a senior, and you know, maybe didn't see the field as much as he wanted to in certain circumstances in the previous 3 years, but now he finds himself in a spot to be in a starting position. Trey Schutte, you know, he's a guy that, you know, is fighting in there as well for some spot. And, you know, those are the things that you like to see, that, you know, this guy's out here and a lot of times he's just getting pounded on practice on that scout team and really just wishing that he could get his chance. Well, he's got his chance. So now he's got 1 year to try to make the most of it. So it'll be fun to see how they kind of intermix those. You know, what can they do to keep guys fresh? What can they do to get that best group up there to be able to really cement things and get this offense going in the direction that it needs to be?
Well, we've given you some names. We've given you some ideas. We've given you probably a lot more than what you really wanted, but it's the first game of the season. We're still getting our sea legs involved with this as well. New names, new places, new kids, new faces. And it's all going to come into fruition in about 6 days, gentlemen. The temperature this week may play a role. As I mentioned, the heat on Friday throughout this coming week, every day projected to be at a high, daytime, midday high, at a minimum of 93 degrees. So that conditioning is going to play a effect, not just in on Friday night under the lights with all the extra excitement and adrenaline flowing, but this week during practice, making sure, and I know West Branch coaching staff has done a great job through the years, stressing, making sure you are hydrated, making sure you eat your bananas and your drink your pickle juice or whatever you need to do to help limit the cramping on Friday. It's going to happen. That's just football, right?
Yeah,
that's football. Just sports in general.
That's football.
That's football. We'll stick with that answer because it works.
In addition to great sandwiches and ice cream treats, Main Street Sweets offers home-cooked comfort food meals. Each Thursday and Friday, we feature items like meatloaf, tater tot casserole, chicken pot pie, and more. We also offer fresh baked pies every Thursday afternoon. Find a full schedule as well as our regular menu at our website, MainStreetSuitesWB.com.
Matthew, your favorite segment this week already. We've heard the picks to click for week one. And I think it's going to be very, very important, these picks, because it's going to set the tone for each of us for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Do we need to, at this point, define our one-timers?
Yes, I think we should.
Okay.
I mean, the obvious one for sure is Gavin Hirschman. That's a one-timer. I think Andy Henson is probably a one-timer. We have no idea which wide receiver of the six or seven in Coach Hirschman and Coach Braddock's stable at receiver is going to be the leader. It may not be just one. And maybe pick your poison each week.
And I'm tempted to say our leading tackler from last year, too, in Kale Federline.
Well, given he's a possible All-State special teams player, kicker as well.
That too.
So that might be another name. Is Jeff Bowie a pick-to-click one-timer?
I would say yes.
So those four, Gavin Hirschman, Andy Henson, Kale Federline, and Jeff Bowie.
Now, I want Steven to go ahead and make the disclaimer on why those names have been put out there.
I mean, you could say Gavin Hirschman every week, and as the quarterback, you know, the offense runs through you, there's a good chance he's going to have. So we like to spread it around a little bit. We like to make sure that we see some of these other guys. And, you know, when we judge this, it's not necessarily, hey, who's the guy that had the most rushing yards or who's the guy that scored the most touchdowns? That helps quite a bit. But, you know, sometimes, hey, who's the guy that, you know, who's the offensive lineman that had two or three really key blocks that sprung a play that led to Gavin or Andy or somebody scoring two or three touchdowns in the game? So you know, we like to look at those things, and, you know, we like to keep the defensive side honest as well. So let's make sure that we're throwing some love their way, knowing that, hey, if the other team doesn't score, it's a lot easier to win.
And now that you've done that, Steven, we're going to give you the opportunity for the first pick of the year. I think for the season, you've already got a pick. What is that? Your pick for the season.
My pick for the season is the new Huddle End Zone camera operator. So,
yes, I think that's a good one. I think for me, it's going to be that new heating and air conditioning system. That's in the press box for this year.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's not, it's but not. We're going to make it one. Oh. I'm just making it that for this year. Yeah. No, I think for me, it's going to be the hand sanitizer every 4.5 minutes on the football field. That's going to be the real MVP.
Yeah, I don't think we've talked about that much, but that's that hand that sanitization break every 4 minutes, kind of like a media timeout in basketball. I'm interested to see what that does to kind of, you know, old Mo, Uncle Mo, momentum.
Well, that's funny you bring that up. Talking to an official,
an
official head of referee just last Friday night, his words to me when they had a meeting with the officials was this: "Don't try to be a rock star." Were his words. In other words, they told them, "Don't be a hero." If the kids are driving, if a team is driving, don't stop it.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Are they going to be very strict about 4 minutes? I mean,
no, they are not.
Yeah. Like, you know, it's going to be on the eighth and the fourth minute remaining of every quarter. Is it going to be okay if it's at 8 minutes and 15 seconds left? Or is it going to be okay with 3 minutes left? Like, do those referees have the discretion to say, okay, we're kind of close to this 4 minute window, whether we're a little bit before it, a little bit past it, whatever, but this seems like a good time to go ahead and take that timeout and not ruin the momentum factor.
And oddly enough, it was worded like this to me. If it's the first timeout, all right, it's supposed to be at 8 minutes and they don't do it until 6 minutes and 20 seconds, do the math and you add that on to the 2 minutes that they already get. Instead of getting 2 minutes, they'll now get 3 minutes and 40 seconds, which seems a bit interesting. But I think perhaps he also said they're going to take that into factor later on when the second timeout might come along, or if that's the second timeout, another timeout may not last as long just because they don't want a 5 minute timeout and then a 5 minute timeout just because of a momentum thing. So that's how it was worded to me.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm glad that things have kind of been thought about, and you know, I just kind of the last thing. I mean, it's a good thing to have the sanitization break, but I would hate to see it kind of ruin the natural progression of a game.
So I'm with you on that.
Anyway, Stephen Grace, your pick to click for week one of the 2020 season.
Week one, I'm going to go with one of those young guys, one of those new guys coming up. I'm going to go with Kinnick Belk, the single digit king. Number 5 in your program.
Kinnick Belk. That was actually going to be on my list of 16 possibilities. So we'll go with... I'm going to go with Peyton Miller. And I'm not going to stress whether it's on the offense or the defense.
You know, I think, you know, Stephen talked about this. One of you two talked about this earlier. It's kind of be interesting to see who goes out there for wide receiver for West Branch. You know, the team always does a rotation, maybe one guy that's kind of always anchored out there, but then typically the wide receiver position has kind of been that that extra duty of running plays in and out and that kind of thing. So it's going to be interesting to see what gets out there Friday night. But I am, you know, all that said, I'm going to go with the wide receiver, and I'm going to go with Brady Hunger.
Hunger struck his back in West Branch. So we've got Kinnick Belk, we've got Peyton Miller, and we've got a Brady Hunger. And now we've got a word from our sponsors. We don't really have a word from them. We just want to talk about them because without them, we wouldn't be able to, you know, blow hot air into your ear through whatever digital platform you're using. Name some sponsors, Matt. Who are the people that make it all possible?
Sure. You've already heard a couple of them throughout this episode, but just to name them all, Barnhart's Custom Services, Corridor Drywall, Fullwater Agency, Hoover Presidential Foundation, Liberty Communications, Main Street Suites, I don't know who they are, Urban Acres, specifically Marcy Willier with Urban Acres, and the West Branch Times. And we thank you all for coming on for this season once again and supporting the Bearcast and the podcast and the website and really everything that westbranchfootball.com provides. We graciously appreciate it. We sincerely appreciate it because we literally would not be able to do this without you. Just at the Bearcast, you know, there's a lot of equipment that we need and different varying equipment needs as the year goes on. You know, like for this season, in order for us to safely do our post-game interviews on the Bearcast with talking to players and coaches, we can't have Jerry Flakel standing 2 inches from them. We need to maintain a good social distance and make sure those are safe and done properly. So we needed to buy a second wireless microphone system to be able to do those. And so without our sponsors, that would not have been possible to do that. So we sincerely thank all of those sponsors that have come on for this year.
Now, the social media platform king as it pertains to West Branch football. Stephen Grace knows every platform. He knows the intricacies of every social media platform. Well, maybe not them all, just the ones that he's going to list right now.
MySpace. How come is at MySpace. Oh, wait.
Will Tom be covering
Google Plus?
My friend on MySpace, Tom. Yeah, Tom. Where can people find the Bears on social media?
Social media. If you go to Twitter, look for at WB Bears Football. If you are on Facebook, search West Branch Football. You can go to YouTube. We've got a YouTube channel at West Branch Football as well. Let's see. I'm missing one. It feels like
Instagram.
Instagram
at WB Bears Football. How can I forget Instagram? I mean,
can't.
Yeah,
that's where all the kids are now because, you know, mom and dad are on Facebook. So
right. Yeah, and you know what? You and I aren't really good with all the technical guru jargon stuff. So we'll let Matt take it from here to let people know where they can catch up to us, keep up with us, hear about when a new episode of the Talking Bear Football podcast on westbranchfootball.com is out, or how they'll be notified when the Bearcast goes live.
Yeah, sure. So for the podcast, if you aren't already subscribed, be sure to do so. It's totally free to do that. This isn't a paid thing. Whatever your podcast player of choice is, you should be able to find us. Just search for Talking Bear Football. So you can look in Apple Podcasts. We're in Spotify. I use Overcast, whatever podcast app you choose, we should be in there, and go ahead and subscribe. Like I said, it's free. And the benefits are, is that as soon as I hit publish on this episode or on each episode, you're pretty much you can be instantly notified that there is a new episode to listen to. And usually that appears in your podcast player before it's even up, say on westbranchfootball.com. The cool thing is it automatically downloads.
Webmaster. We got to get a new webmaster. What takes so long?
Well, yeah.
It's just, you know, it's sometimes not good to put out a thing on westbranchfootball.com at 10 o'clock at night, you know? So.
Yeah, I got to talk to Al Gore. Didn't he create the internet? We got to talk to him.
I don't know. Okay. But yeah, as far as the Bearcast goes, so we'll have our broadcast this Friday. Pre-game starts at 6:30 with kickoff at 7. You can listen to that, of course, on westbranchfootball.com, but also you can listen to on our broadcast platform, which is called Mixlr, M-I-X-L-R. You can actually download that app onto your phone, whether you're iOS, Android, whatever it is. Go ahead and download that and just search for West Branch Football, and we should show right up. The cool thing about that is it's just real easy to listen on your phone or tablet, even if you're driving in the car, wherever you are, even on your computer, you can listen to. And you'll get you can set it up to get notifications when we start to broadcast to you. So be sure to check that out. And yeah, 6:30 for the pregame this Friday, 7 o'clock for the kickoff on the Bearcast.
Two more very important things here, guys. One is we want to make sure and welcome, and we'll look forward to having our friends from Tipton there on Friday night. Looking forward to a very big crowd. If it's anything like a couple years ago on Military Appreciation Night, there's going to be a very big crowd on hand at the Little Rose Bowl on this coming Friday, specifically for opening night. Not sure how the crowd management's going to go with everything involved with COVID, but you better bring your mask, or I'm guessing as you won't be able to sit in the stands. You will be asked to leave. There is no warning.
Yeah, if you're coming, wear a mask and social distance between each other. You know, a lot of the recommendation is to do one or the other, but just to be safe, do both. We want the season to happen. We want things to get back to normal. Do your part and help preventing the spread of COVID. Wear a mask, social distance, please.
Well, that's Matt Chenander with the CDC, everybody. But more importantly, we haven't brought it up, and before we even get to my favorite portion of the program, of course, is this. Very important, not just because it's the first game of the season, not just because we are going to have a football season, and it's going to be a healthy and safe football season, you know, mask up and all that stuff that Matt said, is this. It's Tipton. It's West Branch. It's Cedar County. The trophy game. The first matchup of the Cedar County trophy is Friday night.
I just can't believe we're starting the season off with the Cedar County trophy game. We're going to have...
The state of Iowa, the Athletic Association knew this. I'm sure Mr. Todd Tharp was looking at that.
Oh, obviously. Yeah, I mean, so is... Is Wilton in Muscatine County?
No, they're partially Cedar County. So they
partially?
Count. They're in.
Okay, so we'll have three Cedar County games this year. Wow.
Yes.
And we don't get to go to Doug Jackson Field either, so.
No.
I don't even know why we're doing this. If we can't go to Doug Jackson.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Thanks for bringing that up, Stephen.
Yeah,
sorry.
I was all excited for the season, and now you've just ruined it.
Choo-choo!
Yeah, we appreciate everybody listening. Stephen Grace, Matt Chenander, and Jason Miller. Always enjoy getting together to just waste about an hour of your time. No, to talk about football, and we're really excited to be able to talk about football in 2020 with everything's gone on. This is one of the good things that's actually happening in life right now. Something to look forward to for the last 6 months, or five and a half, 6 months as it is on the calendar. There hasn't been much to look forward to. Well, high school football, I'm glad, is one of those things, guys. Stephen Grace, Matt Chenander, I'm Jason Miller. Thank you for listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast.
Right here on WestBranchFootball.com.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Take care, everybody.
Nope.
Stop.
You messed it up.
No. Stephen, it's take care, everyone.
Take care, everyone. That's why we can edit it back.
He's really, really good.